Welcome to Everyday Muslim Show once again. Today, we are going to celebrate a special guest. So the theme of today's show is celebration of an icon. Everyday Muslim Show is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, and Women Radio, WFM 91.7. Stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that we must obey Allah and His Messenger at all times. But after that, who else did He tell us to listen to and be close to?
Your mother.
Yes, well done.
Who should I give my love to, my respect and my honor to? Who should I pay good mind to after Allah and Rasulullah?
Comes your mother.
Who next?
Your mother.
Who next?
Your mother. And then your father. 'Cause who used to hold you and clean you and clothe you? And always be with you when you were sick, stay up all night holding you tight. That's right, no other. My mother.
Still on the Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7, let's take a message from the Nasheed by Harris J titled Good Life.
Good life, good life. Allah, I wanna thank you for the good life.
Welcome back to the Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7. Today's theme is celebration of an icon. And for today, we have various segments. We have the quote of the day, the story segment, the interview segment, and the treasure trove. Before I introduce the special guest we have here, I'll mention her name briefly before we go to the proper intro. We have a special guest here, Amina Imotsemme Yusuf, the best graduating student in LASU. Stay tuned. Let's go to the quote of the day. Today's quote of the day is coming from the Holy Quran, Quran 55:60. Is there any reward for good other than good? Is there any reward for good other than good? Next, let's have our story segment. Today's story is titled Certainty of Faith, the boy who brought an umbrella for prayer. Certainty of Faith, the boy who brought an umbrella for prayer. The rains fell again that year. It was the third year in succession without rain. The crops withered. Trees had lost their leaves years ago and stood out like silhouettes of cactus on the dusty horizon. The streams, rivers, and springs have gone dry. There was famine in the land. People walked around like sticks, sand flesh, surviving on whatever ration was brought to them by trucks. distributed by charities located in faraway land. Desperate for help, the people of Maza village held a meeting under a big banyan tree that was as old as the village. "Let us pray," said an elderly man. "Only God can help us now." In Maza village, there were people of many faiths in the village of Maza. There was a temple, a church, and a mosque, each belonging to a different group. There ensued a big debate as to where to hold the prayer, in a temple, a mosque, or a church. Each community pressed its respective position. There was no consensus. Exhausted, they decided that each group would go to its own place of worship and beseech the Almighty Creator for rain. The Muslims decided to hold their prayer in the open field by the riverbank, late at night, under the open sky, away from town. It was a full moon night, and the moon shone with its alluring brightness against a background of shimmering stars. The Imam was there with his white turban, and so were the Qazi and Muhaxin. There were the And there were men who at that time were considered rich by virtue of the cattle, sheep, orchards, and cultivated land they owned. They needed rain to regain their status. As the men formed neat rows for prayer, a child came running from the town holding an umbrella over his head, offering for breath. He stood in the back row with the open umbrella in hand. The men could not help but turn around, wondering what was going on. Some were curious, others were annoyed because the umbrella created space between their shoulders where there should be none. At last, one of the men admonished the child. "Why did you bring the umbrella, oh foolish child?" said the man to the child. "Can't you see there is no rain, and we have come here to pray for rain? Only the foolish one will stand on a clear night like this with his umbrella open." "Yes," said the child, "I came to pray too. I am certain my prayer will be answered and it will rain. I have complete faith in God. That is why I brought my umbrella." The Imam and the other men were dumbfounded. The men had a sense of shame. Each one looked to his right and to his left, and then each searched inside his own soul for that certainty of faith that was absent. Who was the teacher here and who was the pupil? If you pray for rain, you must have certainty in your heart that it will rain. When you take your worries to Allah, you must raise your hands in prayer with certainty of faith. Remember, Allah is the Almighty Creator, the one who only needs to command be and it becomes. To the Everyday Muslim Show, brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, and Women Radio WFM 91.7. Today's theme, celebration of an icon, and our special guest, as I've said earlier, is none other than the most celebrated graduating student in Lagos State, Miss Amina Imoseme Yusuf. A brief intro about our special guest. Amina Imoseme Yusuf is a legal luminary of Lagos State University and origin of Edo State. She resides in the city of Lagos with her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Yusuf. Amina is a law graduate of Lagos State 2021-2022 academic session with a record-breaking CGPA of 5.00. Amina became the best graduating student in the 40-year history of Lagos State University. She graduated with numerous faculty and university awards, amounting to the aggregate of 15 academic awards. This laudable feat earned her national and international recognition. She was also celebrated by leaders across the nation. With well-developed interests in the areas of corporate and commercial law practice, her intellectual curiosity has propelled her to take up finance-based courses, one of which is the CFA Investment Foundation program. She has also previously intervened with top law firms such as Olaniwo Ajayi, Primrose Grace, Omaplex Law Firm, and M.A. Banire and Associates. The experience garnered thus far and a certificate called the Jobberman Soft Skills Training have equipped her with technical skills, relevant soft skills, and the right values appealing to success in the legal industry. She is currently engaged at Olaniwo Ajayi LP, a top-tier law firm with national, regional, and international legal practice. The desire to unravel seeming impossibilities, particularly in the legal profession, is the wind that beneath her wings. Welcome to the show, Miss Amina Yusuf.
Thank you very much.
Now, before we get into the interview segment, let's quickly introduce today's topic. Celebration of an icon. As Muslims, we need to strive to achieve excellence in all good actions. While this is an attitude that everyone should apply regardless of his or her belief, it is an important principle in Islam called Ihsan, that is excellence. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, "Verily, Allah loves proficiency in all things," related by Muslim. And in Al-Bayhaqi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also reported to have said, "Allah loves that when one of you accomplishes a work, that he accomplishes it with excellence." Recognizing and celebrating an individual's achievement is a positive action to reinforce the spirit of excellence, boost confidence, and increase motivation for the achiever and those around him or her. The feeling gets even better when a people, an organization, a community, a nation, and humanity in general acknowledges and rewards efforts and achievement. It was in the spirit of this that MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Center, in 2019 instituted the Nigerian Muslim Achievement Awards to honor faith leaders, political leaders, civil society, young Muslims, and organizations whose exemplary efforts have sustained potentially improved or contributed to Nigerian Muslim affairs, the standard of living, peaceful coexistence, social cohesion, inclusive society, interfaith dialogue and engagement, and national harmony. The platform of MPAC National Convention is used to highlight the power of love, courage, truth, and sacrifice, as well as celebrate those individuals and institutions whose efforts have greatly impacted the Ummah and the wider society in terms of community development, excellent leadership, and outstanding achievements. The awards underscore the importance of spiritual, moral, innovative leadership, and a willingness to become a voice of courage and conscience. Demonstrating the lives of integrity and genuine striving are essential for true and ethical leadership. We have the special privilege today in the studio to honor a special achiever who serves as a role model, exemplary in conduct and morally upright. Amina's great achievement at a young age, overcoming many barriers and making a success out of life. Her can-do attitude and yes, I can, inshallah, mentality. Welcome to the studio, Miss Amina Imotseme Yusuf.
Thank you very much.
Miss Amina Yusuf, as I said earlier, was the overall best graduating student of the Lagos State University, LASU, during the last convocation ceremony, scoring the perfect CGPA of 5.00, the first even in the school's 40-year history. Congratulations, and thank you for making us proud, Amina.
Thank you very much.
All right. Are you ready? Now we are moving on to the interview segment. All right, our lines are open. If you are just tuning in, you are on to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. And today we are celebrating an academic icon, Amina Yusuf. Our phone lines are open for calls. 0700-917-917. I repeat. 0700-917-917. And for those using the SMS and WhatsApp messages, this is the number to number. 0703175637. Again, 0703175637 for SMS. Are you ready, Miss Amina? Let's go straight to the interview segment. Miss Amina Yusuf, how does it feel becoming Hello, we lost that. All right, let's go back to the interview segment. Miss Amina Yusuf, how does it feel becoming a celebrated academic icon?
Okay, so first of all, I'll say Salaam alaikum, Salaam alaikum to everybody out today, and good morning to our audience and listeners. Thank you very much to WFM for having me and Everyday Muslim Show. Okay, so the question is, how does it feel to be celebrated? Can you hear me clearly? Okay, so how does it feel to be celebrated? How does it feel to be celebrated? Okay, so it's a good feeling, like, but most importantly, first and foremost, I have to say thank God to my, I'm thankful to Almighty Allah for that opportunity. But it's a good feeling. It makes me feel celebrated and appreciated. But most of all, it brings a different sense of hope that, considering what happened during that period, younger generations will be a lot more motivated to take their education seriously. So I see it more from that angle. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that I'm the source of such, you know, accomplishments.
Wow, that's beautiful. Grateful for being a source of inspiration to many. Thank you. Did you anticipate the national, statewide acknowledgement, recognition, awards, celebration, and also being hosted by the Lagos State Government, the Obas, Islamic groups, and other organizations? Did you anticipate that?
Not necessarily, no. The thing is, I knew I was, you know, 5.3 was supposed to be going to be a big deal, fine. But I was not expecting this level of appreciation and celebration, because, you know, this is not the first time we're having great people graduate from school. Though this is the first time I'm having a 5.0 in LASU, but there are persons who have graduated with, you know, much commendable results, and we've not seen very much being done. So I was not expecting this kind of celebration, but I was hopeful that whatever I accomplish out of university will create, like, brighter opportunities. Even the day before the public conference by our vice chancellor, myself and my friend were speaking about, you know, once it comes out that you're on 5.0, you'll be very popular, you even get money. And I'm like, this is not entertainment industry, don't deceive yourself. We have achieved this one, let's focus on the next goal. So I wasn't really expecting this kind of celebration. It's very laudable, I must say.
Yeah. That's beautiful. You will all be rewarded by our efforts. That just goes to show how massive what you've done. It's not easy to have a perfect CGPA. It's something that has to show. It shows a lot of discipline and intentionality. So, and thank you for making us proud, making the whole nation proud. All right, let's go to the next question, Ms. Amina Yusuf. What's a typical day's routine for you as a student?
Okay, so when I was a student at Lagos State University, typically, in a normal day, you know, we attend lectures Monday to Thursday. So when, and sometimes our classes start as early as 8. So most of the time I wake up early for tahajjud prayer and then do the normal, you know, morning devotion and salat and then get ready for school as a student. And sometimes we don't have, sometimes you can have a class for 8 o'clock and the next class you'll be having will be 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock. So whenever there is, you know, time gap in terms of the lectures that we have, I take our time in the library. Lasa has a very good law library, so yes, so I'm always mostly there.
Okay.
So spend time when I don't have lectures in the university environments, and when we are done with lectures around four, then, you know, sometimes we go to the masjid, do the necessary engagements and basically study.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then when do you sleep?
It's subjective.
Okay.
But most times I sleep by 12.
Okay, we don't have a stated time for
Yes, but most times I sleep by 12.
All right. Thank you. There are so many distractions in today's world, from social media updates, campus activities, friends, peers, social life, etc. How were you able to achieve this feat of a perfect CGPA with so many distractions around you? Did you have to become antisocial to achieve a perfect CGPA?
No, not necessarily. See, the thing about being social is character specific. It's not goal oriented. There are people who are extroverts and then some are introverts. So whether you are a social person or not depends on your character as an individual and not necessarily in relation to your goal. That is not to say that time management is what's important. You might be social, but knowing that at the end of the day you have a goal to achieve and you need to invest your time towards achieving that goal is what is much importance. So me personally as an individual, I'm not a very social person.
Okay.
And it's not because of my goal. That's just my character.
Okay.
Yes, I have friends who are very social and they still make first classes. But as far as social media is concerned, I'm not a social media person because I got phone very late. I got phone when I was in a browsing phone when I was in first semester 300 level.
Wow.
And at that time I already knew what I wanted from social media. I was on LinkedIn, a professional app, and any engagement in YouTube or any other place is just for development. And even though I engaged in all kinds of research work, you know, that is also social media but tailored towards a particular objective. So when I took advantage of the use of social media, it was for my own self, for the purpose of developing myself in terms of law as a career and then as an individual generally. So I have, you know, a couple of videos I watch on YouTube for inspiration and, you know, to learn life lessons. You don't get to learn everything in the university.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I used social media for. I did not get access to an internet phone when I didn't know the value.
Wow.
Yes, so I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I got the phone at a time where I'm matured enough to know what I should be using it for. Yes, so that's basically it. And for friends, I had the right pair of friends, the right kind of friends. Your goals will direct you to the person to relate with. In university, there are all kinds of persons. Just like you have people who get easily, just like you have people who are not very focused with what they want to achieve out of life, you also have persons that are goal driven. And so in the course of my stay, all of my friends, I maintained the same friends all through my university years, and we all had similar objectives. I particularly have 3 very close friends, and 3 amongst 4 of us made the first class. That's just for you to know how good, you know, the kind of people that I surrounded myself with.
Birds of the same feather, flock together.
Yes, so that's also very important.
Mm, thank you so much for that. Wow. Amina Yusuf got her first browsing phone at 300 level when she already knew the value of phone and what she can use it for to actually improve herself and for self-development. That's a great one in today's world. And weren't you feeling out of place when you know, lots of students now, even primary school, have browsing phone, secondary school have browsing phone. Are you feeling kind of...
No, not necessarily. The thing is, I went to a boarding school through my secondary school years. And in boarding school, you're not allowed to bring phone to school. My parents did not see the need to get me a phone, since I can't take the phone to school anyways. And so when I was done with boarding school, I wrote CHAMP in school, but I did not pass my CHAMP. So wow. I was working towards doing diploma in law. And diploma in law is a very tasking kind of course. So at the time, there was not even time to use phone. And personally, I'm very passionate with law. It's something that I enjoy doing. So anytime I'm reading, it's much more interesting for me than spending time on it. So I did not feel, I did not feel out of place because I wasn't using the browsing phone.
Wow, thanks so much, Miss Amina Yusuf. For our listeners out there, we are still on the Everyday Muslim Show, which is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, and Women Radio, WFM 91.7. The phone line to call again is 0700-917-917 and for SMS 0703175637. All right, Miss Amina, can you mention some support system you had as a student that kept you grounded and make it possible to achieve this feat? Could it be that you had enough money? You had people like maybe lecturers, your peers, adequate provision? Certain groups that keeps you grounded and focused on your goal?
In terms of support system, I would say that my mom was very, very supportive.
Mashallah.
Yes. Yes, she's like, my very close friend. I'm the first child, so you understand the bond between the mother and... Yes, so that is in terms of, support. But then financially, funny how we weren't really... privilege. I'm talking about my friends and myself.
Yes,
I'm still with the first class. Mm. So we did not really experience the luxurious lives. Mm. We had some quite very tough experience as far as finance is concerned. But I tell you one thing about having friends that are in the same circle as you is what you would naturally, you won't be lonely.
Mm.
So even though you are going through any financial condition, it's usually fun.
Hmm.
Yes, so we went through some stuff, but because it was like there was this sense of unity, we could manage around that. Hmm. And most times I stayed in school for the most part of my years. Hmm. And because we had a conducive environment, security driven kind of setting in university, it wasn't really difficult.
Hmm.
And I'm also very grateful to Faculty of Law. Hmm. Firstly, to our lecturers.
Hmm.
Personally, in fact, they did what they could in terms of, providing quality lecturing, but they were always willing to listen to you beyond the school, the classroom environment. Wow. So if there is need for me to reach out to anybody because I don't understand a particular concept, so, I got support in that regard. And the library itself was also very, very relevant.
Mm.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. So you had lecturers really how to help you achieve your goals. Thanks so much. All right, Ms. Amina Yusuf. In one of the interviews you granted, you mentioned some hurdles you had to face as a student, living on the campus without hostel accommodation, the struggle to appear neat in well-ironed clothes every day for lectures, surviving on garri and peanuts in school in order to save some money and get an Android phone for your schoolwork. How has resilience and grit contributed to your success?
All the things you said now reflect how it has.
Hmm.
You cannot rely on there are no excuses. The circumstances you find yourself is not an excuse. There are people who had gone through worse situations and they still achieved whatever they wanted to achieve. So you just have to, sometimes you realize that that's the only option you have on your table and you have to take the fullest advantage of it regardless of what comes your way. So there was no way I wasn't going to be resilient and, you know, dedicated to what has driven that group. Because as the first child, I have siblings who are looking up to me. I'm even the first grandchild.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of examples to set.
Mm.
So looking at where I'm coming from is one of the factors that, you know, pushed me to ensuring that I remained resilient. Yes. And there are quite a number of experiences too.
Wow, mashallah, that's beautiful.
In today's society, where parents spoon feed and struggle to ensure that students get all they need with the tap of a finger, what advice do you have for parents on the need to entrench resilience and grit in their words?
Firstly, parenting is one of the most difficult tasks, and it comes with praying to God that the child you're entrusted with, you know, God gives you the ability to manage that child. Our generation is quite tech. We are quite, should I say, difficult to not to manage, because there's so much distraction everywhere. And this is no longer a time where you have more than one parenting from different sources.
Mm-hmm.
Gone are the days where elders from, you know, in the community, a child belongs to the entire member of the, of that
family.
Community. And
yes,
even though your parents are not there to correct you, you have someone in the neighborhood to do that. So it's a very tasking situation, and we must first commend parents for making the effort.
Mm.
But I think that, I'm not a mother yet, I'm not a parent anyway, so, but from the little experience that I get from my own parents, I think the foundation of the of your child is most important.
Mm.
Once you're able to form that child, every other thing sets in.
Mm.
Yes. I went to a school where, a secondary school, boarding house, where you know, self-independence was imbibed in us.
Okay.
Unfortunately, in the educational system today, you see so many, you know, students taking advantage of, they can't sit and feel confident about their own examination.
Mm.
Why? Because the educational system of today, in most places, not all anyways, in most schools, such that you don't need to write the exam by yourself, right?
Mm.
Or even if you're writing it, there is a full-blown source. There's no need to task your brain or something. And parents know of this environment, and they even finance it.
Mm.
Once a child loses that, because it's a sense of responsibility. Yes, you write an examination to sit for, you know, moving, pushing you forward. But at the end of the day, the fact that you need to sit and write the exam yourself imposes on you a sense of responsibility. And when you have an environment where you are not taxed that much and you get whatever you get on a platter of gold, you will lose that sense of responsibility. And it will not just affect just you as an individual in the university level, because the level of intellectual development is lost, since the secondary school knowledge, you don't have the secondary school knowledge, or you get it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the university level, you won't really, even if people eventually catch up, it's going to be a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of self-independence won't be there. Parents need to, from the very beginning, make their children develop a sense of independence so that they can thrive. It's not just limited to education itself. When you are able to work towards a task and you achieve and accomplish success in that task, it pushes your motivation and your self-confidence booms. But when you are getting everything you need and you're not making any effort towards it, you will just not just lose your confidence, but your own sense of responsibility. And that is why today we have people saying education is scam.
Mm.
It is because we have lost certain values in our own families.
Mm.
And so many people are getting unnecessarily distracted.
Mm.
So parents should try to focus. And it's not easy in terms of economics and everything. It's not very easy, but parents should still try. I had my both parents, my dad and mom, were very, 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 very attentive.
Uh-huh.
So even though I went to boarding school, anytime I got back home, they were up to date with my notes, ensuring that they reviewed it. And, you know, I got all the training. And the fact that I was even a student in boarding house did not mean that I didn't take care of the necessary chores when I was home.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I got home, I took charge of all the chores, cooking and every other thing. So there has to be some level of intentionality to parenting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Issa and Mrs. Yusuf. Thank you for being involved parents in the life of Amina Yusuf. Thanks so much. We have a question. Let's take a question from our listeners. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I wish to congratulate Amina and others like Kanyawas in our schools, who are role models of hard work, making purposeful and courageous sacrifices to achieve. It is nice to hear from her that hard work pays, and it is encouraging to see the level of support and rewards that she has achieved, that she has received. It's most important for the future of our youth and the nation to see and celebrate such achievements and successes. I would like to know from Amina what roles her religion played to get her to focus and achieve this exemplary goal. What can you say to those students really struggling in their studies and making best effort to scale through? Thanks.
So there are two questions. What role did my religion play? As Muslims, we believe that every single thing you do is for the sake of Allah. That's the whole essence of our existence anyway. Yeah, so we're supposed to work towards, you know, seeking Allah's favor. So first and foremost, I had the right intention. Mm-hmm. That was the major purpose. That in everything you are engaged in, you are trying to satisfy, or you are trying to, you know, please Allah and not humans. Mm-hmm. That's intentionality in itself, trying to please God and, you know, seek the face of God, will make you work towards excellence. Because you are not satisfied, you are not looking to make any individual happy. Mm-hmm. And by virtue of that decision you make, you get closer to God. Mm-hmm. You have a close bond. And I'm saying this, since the question is religion, did the person say my religion?
Yes, your religion.
My own religion.
Yes, okay. Your religion.
So building connection with God is very, very, very much important.
Mm-hmm.
And aside that, praying is also very significant. Because achieving something, see, it is one thing for you to work hard. It is another thing for your efforts to be blessed. The circumstances surrounding my, you know, this achievement and the whole celebration is an indication of God's blessing.
Right.
Yeah, because there are so many other persons who would do the same thing but do not be as celebrated as this. Yeah, so I have a very close connection with Allah. Not like I'm the best Muslim. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but you know, taking out time to speak to him, to have, you know, and there is a sense of fulfillment in consistently working to satisfying the Almighty. Yes. And so, regardless of, it is not possible that for four years, I maintained a 5.0, and there were no times when I had doubts that, is this even going to still happen? Yes. But because there is continuing, you know, I'm consistent in terms of, you know, reaching out to Allah, consistently praying, trying as much as I can to build strong connection, is one of the reasons. And there are several circumstances that time will not allow permit me to explain how that relationship has come true to serve a circumstance for me.
Inshallah, connection with your Almighty Creator is the bedrock of success and achievement in life. All right. What advice do you have for students who want to excel in academic pursuit and see you as a source of inspiration?
Be intentional about whatever it is you want to achieve, academically, so to speak. It's not, yes, they are geniuses. I'm not even a genius, I would say. Because I work hard for this. I believe that genius are people who find it very easy to read through. And, you know, in the space of, I have a friend who, when we were in secondary school, she could literally read on the day of exam and still pass.
But she read.
On the day of exam.
But she read.
She would read.
So you must put in the effort.
On the day of exam. Whereas some of us have been reading for 3-5 weeks, and we won't even catch up with that piece.
Wow.
But when you are willing to put the work, you would eventually get to achieve your goal. So there is no, it's not about being a genius. It's about willing to pay the price. Firstly, you need to have passion for whatever it is you're doing. In our education today, sometimes you want to study law, for instance, and you're given mass communication. And so because of that, some people lose focus. I don't like mass com. Develop interest. Interest can be developed in any field. Yes. So you have to first and foremost develop interest for the course you choose to study. And once you have developed that interest, work towards achieving it. Reach out to persons who are in that field and have made it, or who are seniors in your university, and you see that they are either on first class or whatever, and try to get connected with them. Reach out to your lecturers if you find anything very difficult. And if the lecturer is such that they are very, very busy, reach out to seniors. There are so many times when it is the extra efforts that I took that made the difference. There are times when I was either at lecturer's office trying to understand something that I find difficult. Unfortunately for me, that stuff will come out in examination. And even when there's no lecturer to reach out to, I reached out to my seniors for that reason. Yeah, so you have to be very, very intentional about what it is you want to go, and understand that the God factor is also important. Regardless of your religion, you just have to build connection with Almighty. That is important. Very, very.
Thanks so much, Ms. Amina Yusuf. What are your learning points with regards to the response, the hapless acknowledgement of the government, institution, traditional rulers, Islamic leaders, Islamic groups, and organizations to your achievement as best student in LASU with a perfect CGPA? What are the learning points?
So first and foremost, like I said earlier, the fact that it is very, very, it gives a sense of hope. Do you understand? In our educational system, that is one point. But then another thing is the fact that it makes me believe that anything is impossible. There is nothing that is impossible. Everything is possible when you put your mind to it, and you work hard, and you are connected to God, and you believe in God towards achieving that goal. 5.0 for law seems almost impossible. Until I made the first GPA, the first grade point average, the first 5.0 in a semester, people told me it was impossible to finish with the 5.0. But when they saw the consistency with it, they eventually keyed into that, idea. So it just reinforces the fact that there is nothing that is impossible, so long as you are willing to do the hard work and you are dedicated towards achieving that fit. So that is a reassurance for me. And I'm also very grateful, because this celebration it's encouraging to a certain level. Initially, my dream was to, immediately I'm done with studying and going to Nigerian law school, I needed to move out
Jaffa.
For master. And
is it
in
Jaffa?
The course of my master, yes.
Jaffa to come master, back or to stay there?
Wait, in the course of my master's, I will get a job. Okay. That was the initial plan. But now, even though I still have that in mind, the fact that there is this level of celebration from the world, from Nigerians especially, imbibes a sense of patriotism in me. So regardless of wherever I am in the world, do something and be of positive impact. You can be anywhere in the world and still be impactful to your country. The fact that you are moving out doesn't necessarily mean that. There's a difference between moving out of Nigeria and having a dead sense. Like, I'm not coming back and I don't have any connection. So that is exactly the point I'm trying to make. So regardless of anywhere I find myself in the world, I still have that very strong sense to have to add very positively to Nigerians.
Thank you so much.
Especially the younger generation.
Thanks so much, Ms. Amina Yusuf. Ms. Amina, we are still on the Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7, and we have Ms. Amina Yusuf, the best graduating student in LASU with a perfect CGPA 5.0. And we are moving on to the Treasure Trove segment. Before that, let's take a question from one of our listeners. I wish to congratulate Sister Amina Yusuf. My question for her is that, what really motivated her whenever she feels depressed during her school days? What really is a source of motivation during her school days?
My source of motivation, first, I would say my parents. They're very motivating people. So they motivated me. And secondly, I had a strong sense of connection. We all have our different approach when we're in downtime. But as a Muslim, there's a level of peace you get from reciting the Quran. So whenever you're in a difficult circumstance and everything seems impossible, one of the things that I did for me was that I always read people or listened to it. So that's one of the, you know, factors. But in terms of motivation, my parents were motivating.
Parents. So, on the treasure trove segment, I want to discover some gems of what makes this special lady very special. What are those? Though she has revealed a lot, but I want to find out more. Miss Amina, what drives you?
What drives me is the same thing as what motivates me.
But one thing.
Satisfying Allah.
Satisfying Allah, mashallah. That's beautiful to hear. Your favorite role model while growing up and why?
Who is my favorite
role model while growing up and why?
Okay, first and foremost, the favorite is one of my role model, my favorite role model. Since it's one question,
role model in life, we'll get to that of the prophet later. Role model
generally
in real life,
that is prophet.
No, as in growing up as a child around you,
okay,
your immediate,
other than
yes,
Prophet Muhammad.
Yes, your immediate environment. Or maybe someone you looked up to from somewhere.
One of the
we have another question coming for that.
One of the persons that's
why growing
people,
up.
I would say that there are so many that I almost can't pick one person.
Okay.
But I'll say that Oprah Winfrey is one of my very favorite role models.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is the fact that it is very, very difficult to go through rejections and still stand to ensure that you achieve what you want to achieve. It is not an easy task. As a Muslim, when we were growing up using the hijab, there are several times when you get pointed out negatively. You get to have one negative experience or the other just because you're on hijab. You're presumed to not be as smart. It is very similar to the circumstance of Oprah Winfrey was when she was growing up as a black woman in her time. There were so many rejections, so many negative words, because I experienced just a bit of it. Seeing somebody go through that kind of difficulty and still coming out to be one of the best females in that the world has ever produced is very, very encouraging.
Wow.
Because there were discrimination as to being black,
yeah.
There were discriminations as to being a woman, and she achieved all that she achieved in spite of those circumstances. So she's one of my role models.
All right, thank you. And who is your favorite role model in Islamic history?
Okay, so in Islamic history,
and in what ways has this inspired and shaped you?
As
the role model
history,
inspired and shaped you?
In Islamic history, is the Prophet.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes, because Prophet Muhammad is, in Islam, it is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the life that he led. First as a messenger of Allah, but as an individual, the Prophet's personality is so appealing that it goes beyond just, you know, worship. It's worshiping Allah on a different sense. His level of humanity, his generosity, how he related to people, the fact that he wasn't always very offended, and he's a very close person to Allah. As he is, he did some of the most he was actively involved in worshiping Allah. The fact that he had close connection with Allah did not debar him from consistently seeking for forgiveness and, you know, doing everything to make sure that he has close, you understand, somebody has as close connected to Allah as that, still went beyond, did everything possible to build up to that. And that is one of the things that I find motivating about the Prophet. But generally, his life as an individual, not just as a prophet, the life that he led as an individual and the impact that I had to his community.
MashaAllah, that's beautiful. Tell us one of your favorite verses of the Quran.
My favorite verse? My favorite? Allah says Surah Al-Dua.
Surah Al-Dua.
Yes.
Wow.
Because Surah Al-Dua is reassuring mankind, and at the same time, it gives man a sense of, it puts you in the middle. You are ambitious in life. You want to achieve several things in life. And Allah is making you understand that He knows what you want to achieve, and He has not forgotten you, and He's still, like, and He's behind you. He's supporting you. But at the same time, it makes you understand that there are people who are less privileged than you. There are people who are in worse condition than you are. The needy, you know, the orphans. those people also, you know, you should be grateful for your state. You have gotten to a certain level. There are millions of people who would want to be in your position.
Sure.
And even giving that kind of message, with that kind of message, Allah is telling you that I have you in mind. Like, I'm supporting you to the fullest. Mm-hmm. So I like that dua so much. I like that dua so much.
Like, I know your pains, I am aware.
But you need to see,
with you.
I'm with you.
Yes.
But you still need to see so that you'll be grateful. You need to see
count
that there
blessings.
Are many other persons that are going through some difficult situations.
That was beautiful. All right, Miss Amina Yusuf. If you are compelled to choose someone you must share all your cash gifts with, 50-50, who would you choose to share with
my
our
parents.
Wife?
Definitely.
One.
My parents. I can't say one person. They are my parents. They are one.
All right.
Yes.
Mashallah.
Contributions.
Mashallah. That's beautiful. Any parting shots to youths and our listeners out there?
Simply that nothing is impossible, no matter how difficult it appears. Keep pushing, regardless of the circumstance, and praying, and keep being prayerful to God. Just I'm rest assured that there is no effort put towards achieving something that won't be rewarded.
Sure.
How and the time you get your reward is what differs. Yes. So this short period of celebration that I had came as a result of years of consistence, hard work, dedication, regardless of the tough circumstance. So you have to be consistent in trying to work, in the course of working hard, be very consistent with whatever it is, and don't allow your circumstances demotivate you from achieving what you want to achieve. Believing that God is behind you and full support.
Mashallah, that's beautiful. We are still on the Everyday Muslim Show, which is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, and the Women Radio, WFM 91.7. And today, the icon we've celebrated on this platform is Miss Amina Imotseme Yusuf. Thank you so much for this wonderful interview. Before we end the show, let's take a little bit closer. Sometimes the world can get too much for us, and in the fast-paced tick-box lives we live, we don't always remember to strive for excellence. Over the years, we become content with mediocrity, and often the first area of our life to fall short is our spirituality. It is crucial to ensure that every single action that we do is purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not any other individual. We know of the famous hadith, actions are judged by their intentions, and it is essential for us to have ihsan, so it is important to start all actions with sincerity. Often, without realizing, we get sidelined by thinking of other people's reaction to our deeds, or how these deeds enhance our own reputation. This has worsened in recent years with the rise of social media. As we put our lives out there for the world to see, we can sometimes be tempted into doing good deeds for the sake of publicizing them. To avoid this, we should again follow the advice of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and hide our good deeds, safeguarding our intention and purifying our actions. Amina Imotseme Yusuf has certainly left her footprint in the sands of time. It is not impossible to talk about the history of Lasso without mentioning the name of Amina Yusuf and her unassailable records. As we have heard today, ihsan, that is excellence, is just not an idea, but a quality. People who are aspiring to be the best they can be genuinely need to consider. Therefore, to our listeners out there, our brothers and sisters, we'd like to end today's episode by prescribing the concept of ihsan and taqwa, that is God consciousness, as we have seen from what Amina has said so far. We need to actively continue to improve our character and actions
so that we may be among people who bring benefit to the society and ourselves in the hereafter. Keep this Quran verse in mind as you strive for excellence in your words, character, and actions, where Allah says, "Could the reward for good be a thing other than good?" That's our quote of the day. Could the reward for good be a thing other than good? Quran 55:16. Our appreciation goes to our guest, Miss Amina Himoseme Yusuf. Thanks so much for coming on to the show. Our esteemed listeners, and especially WFM and MPAC, we hope that you will join us the same time next week for another interesting edition of the program Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. I would like to acknowledge Miss Mukwe, the program producer, Michael, the sound engineer, and my co-host, who is not in the studio today, Rashida Olaniyan Adetun. I am Sakina Titilayo Okonu, your host on the Everyday Muslim Show. And to end today's show, we're taking a nasheed, "I Love You So" by Harris J, titled "Assalamu Alaikum, Ma Salam."